Bishop Sheen has been called the greatest communicator of our time. One theme ran throughout his hundreds of messages: life is worth living. Millions tuned in to learn from this remarkable man. He received the highest honor in television, the Emmy Award, made the covers of Time, Life, and Look. He never lost sight of his goal. Life is worth living. Presenting the wit and wisdom of Bishop Fulton J. Sheen.
We received so many complaints after giving the psychology of the Russian people and saying nothing about the Irish that we decided tonight to say something about the Irish. Incidentally, there's no red light on the camera. Is it because of St. Patrick's Day and you're afraid to show red? I do not know where the camera is. There ought to be a red light on one of these. There it is. Since we gave the psychology of the Russians, we will give tonight the psychology of the Irish and reduce their psychological patterns to three traits. First, this one, of course, will surprise you. And Blarney. Now, first of all, the fighting. It is sometimes said that people fight because they hate. Really, it is just the contrary that is true. They fight because they love. And the more a man loves, the more he fights for what he loves. And since the Irish love their country and their God, they have more to fight for. And then another peculiar characteristic of the Irish and their fighting is that they fight among themselves. A little Jewish boy gets ahead, little A.B. Cohen, and all the good Jewish people say, that's our A.B. But let Michael O'Rafferty get ahead, and all the Irish are knocking him down to the level. Now, why is it that the Irish want to fight so much? Possibly it's because that each and every one of them realizes that he's a descendant of a king. And since he wore once a crown, why shouldn't he crown? If his ancestors had a scepter, why not carry a shillelagh? But this quality of fighting is not really so important. What is much more important, actually, is the humor. Now, the amount of humor that anyone gets out of the world depends upon the size of the world in which he lives. This is any individual here, my man, the only kind of a man I can draw. I made him with big ears tonight. And suppose he lives in a universe where there's only time. Obviously, there's not going to be a great reservoir of humor. But suppose he goes beyond time to eternity, beyond Earth to heaven, from Broadway to the streets of gold, then he has an infinite reservoir from which to draw his humor. And that is where the Irish draw their humor. Let me give you some examples. One is how the fairies came to Ireland. You know, Ireland is peopled with fairies. No other people in the world seem to be interested in them except the Irish, and this is the origin of them. When Michael and Lucifer were having the great battle in heaven, finally the smoke of battle cleared away and banked over against one of heaven's blue clouds was a whole host of angels that had been doing no fighting whatever. They were under the leadership of a certain King O'Connor. Now, it's difficult to believe that they were Irish angels and not in a fight, but that is the fact. The Archangel Raphael was the first to see them. And he went over to King O'Connor and he was furious. He said, Almighty God has laid down a law that no one shall be crowned unless he has struggled. Here, instead of defending the rights of God and saying, Quis sicut Deus, who is like unto God? You have rested on your archangelic spears. If hell were not filled, I should cast you into it. And St. Michael came up, the archangel, and said, Now listen, Gabriel, don't be too hard on them. After all, they have not denied God. They merely have not fought. And Gabriel said, Well, what can I do? An archangel can't change his mind. And I believe that's theologically correct. So St. Michael said, I tell you what we will do. We're going to make the earth soon. And we will let King O'Connor and his angels make three wishes. So King O'Connor said, I want to go to a land where there's gaming and fishing and much sporting and much laughter. Granted, said Michael. Secondly, I want to go to a land where the people are poor. Granted. And thirdly, I want to go to a land where there are labor leaders and capitalists. Michael said, no. No, no, no. You said you wanted to go where the people were poor. And so the gates of heaven were open. And King O'Connor and his angels fell for 326 days, and they landed in Ireland, and they are the fairies of Ireland. And then associated with them are the little leprechauns. Now, a leprechaun, oh, he's about 3 inches high, a little shoemaker fairy. And he hides in the bushes. And if you look him straight in the eye, you make him a prisoner. And to purchase his release, he will grant you any three wishes you want. But you may not tell anybody you saw the leprechaun. This particular day, Bridget O'Toole was on her way to Mass, and she looked in the hedges, and there was a leprechaun. Well, she wanted some help for the wishes, and she went home to Michael, and she said, Michael, if you could have anything in all the world that you wanted, what would you want? And there was a tinker going by selling lanterns. He said, I wish I had one of those lanterns. Lo and behold, the lantern wafted into the home and suspended itself over the fireplace. Well, Bridget was so mad that of all of the fine castles of the English lords that he might have had, that he should have chosen a silly, stupid lantern. She says, Glory be to God, I wish it were hanging from the end of your nose. And, of course, the lantern began to swing from the end of Michael's nose. And she had to use the third wish to get it off, and then there weren't any left. And it's that, too, that sense of the invisible and the eternal that gives the Irish such a fine sense of poetry. Take this lovely poem of Joseph Mary Plunkett. I see his blood upon the rose, and in the stars, the glory of his eyes. His body gleams amid eternal snows, his tears fall from the skies. I see his face in every flower. The thunder and the singing of the birds are but his voice. And carven by his power, rocks are his written words. All pathways by his feet are worn. His strong heart stirs the ever-beating sea. His crown of thorns is twined with every thorn. His cross is every tree. I remember another occasion when I recited that poem. It was some years ago at the Eucharistic Congress in Ireland. And if there was ever a time in my life that I wanted to give a really fine oration, it was then. First of all, because it was a Eucharistic Congress. Secondly, because it was in Ireland. And thirdly, because my grandparents did not come from Bessarabia. And I was talking to this audience without any notes. And I knew it was about time when I decided to quote this poem of Joseph Mary Plunkett, which I knew very well. And just before I came to it, I threw out a line that struck me then. I said, Ireland has never recognized any other king but Christ and no other queen but Mary. Well, you can imagine how the Irish like that. And then I was to go into the poem. But instead of paying attention to what I was saying in the poem, I gave myself an intellectual spanking. All the while I was reciting, I was saying to myself, now no more cracks about kings and queens. This is a Eucharistic Congress. And say nothing that can be misinterpreted politically. And no matter how bright you think you are, stay away from remarks of that kind. Do you know that I whip myself so hard that when I got to the ninth line, all pathway is by his feet are worn, my mind went a complete and total blank. I couldn't think of the last three lines. One of those blanks that you have at examination period in school, finality about it. There's no use of looking for it. It isn't there. And I stopped for a minute, what seemed like a minute, and I said to the audience, I'm sorry. I've forgotten. And I saw thousands of Irish jaws drop in disappointment. And when an Irish jaw drops, it collapses. It's funny what comes to your mind in moments like that when you forget. And what flashed across my mind then was a line of Patrick Henry. Not the one that you know. Patrick Henry also said something else in his life. He said, when you're in difficulty in an oration, throw yourself into the middle of a sentence and trust to God Almighty to get you to the other end. So I did. I said, I'm glad I forgot. Of course, I really wasn't. I didn't know how I was going to continue, so I started over again. I said, if I had ever wished to have forgotten anything, if I had ever prayed to have forgotten anything, I should have prayed to have forgotten these lines of Joseph Mary Plunkett. I think there's beautiful symbolism in the forgetfulness. And that symbolism is that standing on the anvil of Ireland's soil, one should be able to hammer and forge out the sparks of his own poetry and not be dependent even upon a magnanimous soul like Joseph Mary Plunkett. When I finished the oration, do you know what the chairman said to me? He said, Father Sheen, he says, that was a wonderful trick of oratory. Wonderful pretending that you forgot. And that brings us to Blarney. You've been waiting for that. Now, I should make a distinction The distinction is between blarney and baloney. There's a world of difference between the two. Blarney is the varnished truth. Baloney is the unvarnished lie. Blarney is flattery laid on so thin, you love it. Baloney is flattery laid on so thick, you hate it. For example, to tell a woman who's 40 you look like 16, that's baloney. The blarney way of saying it is, tell me how old you are. I should like to know at what age women are most beautiful. Last St. Patrick's Day, I saw an Irishman get up in the subway and give a seat to a lady, and she said, "You're a jewel." And he said, "Lady, I'm a jeweler. I set jewels." That's blarney. And blarney is always associated with imagination and also with exaggeration, which seems a peculiar quality, too, of the Irish. Those of you who have ever been down to Killarney and probably met one of the boatmen down there, I remember I asked him once, I said, "Is Killarney deep?" "Deep," he said. He said, "I had a nephew that dove in there 6 months ago. We got a postcard from him in Australia last week. He wants his winter underwear." And I remember once being taken for a ride around the Killarney district by a Jarvie driver, and I arranged for a price before we started, and I said at the end, "How much do I owe you?" They never tell you. They never give you a direct answer. He said, "Oh," he said, "I've got a wife and 10 children." So I gave him the bargain price and what I thought was really a very good tip. Do you know what he did? He took off his coat. He threw it over the horse's head. He says, "Father, I'd be ashamed to let the horse see you giving me this." I once had a resort to blarney. I went to a concert one night some years ago at Carnegie Hall. It was a dual concert given by John McCormick and Grace Moore. And on the way in, I met Lily McCormick, Mrs. John McCormick. And she said, "Where are you seated?" And I said, "Up in the balcony." She said, "Well, come down and sit in my box." So I went down and sat in the box. John came out, sang a few songs, looked up to Lily, his wife, spotted me, and he said, "Oh," he said, "I see we have Father Sheen in the audience. Let's have him come down and say a few words to you tonight." Well, I had no more business being on the stage of Carnegie Hall at a musical concert than I had taken Phil Rizzuto's place in the Yankee infield. So I went down. What would you say on such an occasion? Well, I told the life story of John McCormick. You know, he was born in Athlone, and this is the way I told it. That some angels and fairies assisted God in the making of the babe of Athlone. And one of the angels went to the Shannon and stole from out it its lilt. And the fairies went down to Killarney, where on one side of the road the sun shines, and on the other side it rains, like a child that smiles through its tears and makes human rainbows. And they carried the ray of sunshine and the tear back to Athlone, and on the way, the ray of sunshine was converted into a smile and the drop of rain into a tear. And the lilt and the smile and the tear were given to the babe of Athlone. And the angel who stood nearby said, "Oh, if he only had a voice to articulate this lilt and this smile and this tear. I shall go to heaven and ask God for a voice." And God said, "Over there in that corner of heaven is a whole host of harps that have not been used since the day that Michael flashed his archangelic spears. Take from out one of those golden harps 3 golden chords and string the throat of the babe of Athlone. And when the throat of the babe of Athlone had been strung with the golden chords from the golden harp of God, he cried." And the angel said, "Oh, how he will sing when he grows." But the fairy said, "No man ever sings without an inspiration for a song." The angel said, "Well, what kind of inspiration do we want? Where can we find it? Suppose I search for a flower." And the fairies and the angels went down the east coast of west of Ireland and up the west. And finally they came to Dublin, where they found a beautiful lily. And he's been singing to her ever since. Therefore, these good people who have brought Blarney and humor into the world have enriched us all. And I believe that on the last day, when the good Lord comes in the clouds of heaven to judge the living and the dead, that he will not show himself to all peoples in just exactly the same way. I believe that every people will see him according to their own national and natural characteristics. I wonder when he comes if he will not seem to the Germans, who love pomp and circumstance, as the great king. And I wonder when he comes if he will not show himself to the Spaniards, who love the beauty of religion, with his face shining as the sun and his garments white as snow. And he will come to the people of India who love mortification, showing scars and hands and feet and side. But to the Irish, he will show something he showed to no other people. He will show them his gratitude for their humor. He will show them his smile.
Bishop Sheen will be with you again in just a moment.
A cloud can hide a star. And sometimes our selfishness can hide God. But despite the cloud and despite the selfishness, the star still shines and God still loves. Bye. God love you.
Presents Bishop Sheen and Life is Worth Living, a program designed for thinking people of any sort. The entire amount paid for this program is applied exclusively for the benefit of the system's leaders throughout the world without regard to race, religion, color, or creed.
Life is worth living. Life is worth.